Yamin book. Menachem Eisenbach sat spellbound on the edge of his chair, leaning closely towards the elderly Jew sitting across from him. His companion was over 100 years old. He was recounting his life beginning from before World War I. Listening to this man's story, sprinkled with wisdom from a generation past, made Menachem feel as if he had traveled together into a time, a different world, a different era altogether. Menachem was a volunteer at Sha'al Avicha, enjoyed giving of his time to assist and encourage Jerusalem's elderly Jews. In truth, many times he felt that he was on the receiving end, gaining chizuk from these extraordinary personalities. However, this man was even more unique. It wasn't often he heard a person of this age speak with such clarity of mind. Menachem wondered if this man had a special secret. Was his Arichas Yamim the result of a specific merit? His curiosity was piqued as his companion told him mysteriously, "I'm still waiting for Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 5765. That's 2005. What was special about this date? 15-year-old Tzvi was on the run. He was a fugitive from Poland trying to evade the dreaded army draft during World War I. Shortly after Shavuos of 1917, he arrived in Vienna. He went to the famous Shifshul. Okay, it had gained renown. Some words are missing. It was Shabbos Mevarchim for the month of Tammuz. As was the custom in the shul, the gabbai announced the details of the molad of the month. The molad is the precise moment when the new moon month begins, down to the last fraction of the minute. Its details are announced every Shabbos Mevarchim. The week, the day of the week, the hour, the minute, and how many? Chalakim. There are 1,080 chalakim in an hour. That's how the numbers work out. You have to work it out. Divided by 60. There are 1,080 chalakim in an hour. And the moment will be Tuesday night at 1 o'clock. The gabbai called out. Now, it's never at an exact hour. It's always 1 o'clock and 10 minutes and 2 chalakim. 1 o'clock and 8 chalakim. It's never exact. It's never exact. Never. Kimat never. The congregation waited expectantly to hear the gabbai inform them about the minute and the chalakim of the minute. He had nothing more to say. Noticing the silence, he knew what they were waiting for. This month, he explained, displaying his knowledge, we have an unusual phenomenon that happens once every 87 years. The molad occurs exactly as the clock strikes one. The next time the molad will, this happened in 1917. The next time this molad will occur precisely on this hour will be Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 5675, 2005. May we all be zocha to be alive and well at that time. He added with a smile. Oh, Jack, he added it with a smile. His statement was met with murmurs and chuckles. What an interesting phenomenon. Now, especially during wartime, 87 years is a long way off. Amid the chuckles, one person in the shul had the foresight to catch the gabbai's blessing. And he answered a fervent, Amen. Who was that boy? That was Svi, the old man, sitting across the thing. He survived World War I, World War II. He said in his mind, I will survive, I know I will. He kept telling himself, at least until Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan 2005. And survive he did. Indeed, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, he fell out on a Thursday at 2 a.m., and he lived another few years afterwards. Is that an amazing story? So, Amen is fabulous. You with me, Mr. Gavi? That's a good story. You got it? That's one Amen story. And now we will have the best Amen story of all time. You can't beat this. Sometimes there's number one. Number one means what? Number one. Not number two. Number one. There's only one one. That's the way to say it. What? That's true. The only one is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but as far as stories go, so this is the number one all time story. Here we go. Ready? Now, the previous Lubav of a Rebbe was an amazing tzaddik. You can't imagine. The first year I was married, we went to Bubba for Simplest Torah. We saw him dance with the Torah in Brooklyn. He's very special. Here we go. The late Bubba Varebi, Rav Shlomo Harbelstam, and his Chassidim Bar Park would celebrate Shushan Purim with the same joy and enthusiasm as Purim itself. In other words, in America, Shushan Purim is, you know, Shushan Purim. You don't say Tachanun. It's not like a big thing. Shushan Purim is when it's Purim in Yerushalayim. It's the next day. You know what I mean? So, but by the Chassidim, Shushan Purim is a very special day. They don't drink again, but it's a special day. You celebrate. It's a chashv. There's ruchnias. On this day after Shacharis, the Rebbe would abandon his regular schedule and pay visits to his married children and relatives. Oh. His devoted Gabbai, Reb Shmuel, and a group of very close Hasidim, all dressed in their Shabbos finery, would accompany the Rebbe. So this is the special day where the Rebbe visits family. Okay. People in the street would turn to stare at the impressive entourage following the regal figure of their Rebbe. How proud each chassid was to have been chosen to come along. But to be in the Rebbe's Dalet Amos was to be inspired by his holiness. They listened closely to each word he uttered and followed every movement he made, gleaning lessons in godless amidos. As the Rebbe entered each house, Kudyamtev, Kudyamtev, he would call out in joy, his face aglow with happiness. His arms outstretched in embrace, his magnificent smile radiated love. His eyes told every person that he knew of their individual needs, that he remembered both their joys and sorrows. The Hasidim would follow and stand patiently crowded around the host's dining room. In other words, the people watching are not the relatives. They're just the Hasidim with them. Are you with me? Do we have the picture clear over here?
Yeah.
Still singing the Gedumtif, a good Purim, the Rebbe would motion everyone in the room to sit down. Then he would begin slicing the cake that had been put on the table and filling little glasses with schnapps. Each Hasid would listen for his name, would then rush to take his portion from the Rebbe's hand. Right? Food that the Rebbe cut or that the Rebbe poured is more kedusha. Because it's more, if you're a holy person, whatever you come in contact with has more kedusha. So it's special to drink whatever the Rebbe poured for you. When everyone had received his share, the Rebbe would call L'chaim, drink a drop of his schnapps from his own little glass, take a sliver of the cake that he'd cut, a portion so small he never needed a bracha achrona. Then amidst much singing and dancing, the Rebbe and his chassidim continued with their fulfillment of mitzvah of simplest Purim. They went on and on. You got it? You with me? We're all on the same page here? On and on they went, from one house to another. Uplifted in their joy, hoping to connect their spiritual joy to that of their brethren in Yerushalayim, who were then observing Purim. The Rebbe's usual visits were over, but he made no motion of returning home. In other words, he visited all the kids, all the sons-in-law, whatever, and now you go home. Nope, he's not going home. He says, we have one more place to go. And I don't know at the top here. He says, we're coming to visit Reb Zisha. Reb Zisha, Reb Zisha. The name was passed from one chassid to the next in a hushed whisper. So he's not a relative. You with me? He's not a son. Who was Reb Zisha? He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Babava Masifta. After World War II, when the Babava Rebbe returned to his hometown of Babav, he was hoping to find remnants of the city that he had been thriving center of Torah. Instead of meeting others like him, middle-aged survivors, he found 13 lonely, malnourished shadows of children, orphans, who had somehow survived 6 years of brutal treatment under the beastly Nazi regime. The Rebbe himself, a broken man, having lost his wife and children, his holy father, and the many spiritual giants of his family, adopted them all. When the group of his father's Hasidim, who had escaped to America before the war, insisted that he join them there, the Rebbe brought these orphan children along with him. Upon arriving in America, the Rebbe was determined to build his own Hasidic yeshiva. You see what's happening here? He's coming to America now. He wants to start rebuilding. He's got these 13 kids, and that's all he's got. Weeks and months passed. The only students he had were the 13 orphans. Sophisticated American boys weren't interested in learning in a European-type yeshiva, staff, a Holocaust survivor, a Hasidic yeshiva. That wasn't what was in then. That was until 16-year-old Zisha, the son of a Bava Chassid, whose family had emigrated to America when he was still a child, enrolled in the fledgling yeshiva. Oh, he was like the first American kid to join. We on the same page? Zishu had left Torah Vadas and established yeshiva in Williamsburg, was the first of many. Soon after, many of his friends joined him, and slowly other American teenagers began to come as well. The Bava Rebbe, he didn't have any of his own. The Bava Rebbe would eat his meals together with his students and would patiently and lovingly listen to all their problems. The students were touched by the Rebbe's devotion and caring, and realized how fortunate they were to be so close to him. Within time, the yeshiva flourished, and the Rebbe's dream became a reality. Oh, so Reb Zisha had a big schluss. He was the first guy, you know, to jump in as a kid to the new yeshiva, and he helped build it. Now on Shushan Purim, the Rebbe was on his way to visit Reb Zisha, his first American student in the yeshiva of long ago, and the present Rosh Yeshiva and the thriving yeshiva that has since become. Although married 9 years, he still had not been blessed with children. So Reb Zisha, the Talmud, doesn't have any kids. Again, the Hasidim sat around their host's dining room table. The Rebbe sliced the cake and called it Reb Shmuel. Reb Shmuel, the Gabbai, had only one grown child, and he yearned for more. Got the picture? Reb Shmuel has one kid. Reb Zisha has none. Reb Shmuel took the slice of cake from the Rebbe's hand. And the Rebbe whispered into his ear, he'd like a glass of tea. A glass of tea? He never does that. What does he always do? He has a little piece of cake and a drop of schnapps. He never has a glass of tea. So she went to the kitchen and filled the Rebbe's request. He returned to the dining room and he placed the glass of tea on the table. The Rebbe continued calling out the names until each guest had received his portion of cake. So now everyone has one piece of cake. You ready? Now we're ready to go? Then he picked up another slice of cake and called out Reb Shmuel. Now wait a second. Reb Shmuel what? He had already what?
Got cake.
He already had one. I think they had made a mistake. The Hasidim corrected him. Reb Shmuel, I don't speak Yiddish, sorry. Reb Shmuel already got his portion. The Rebbe replied, he needs more. To everyone's surprise, the Rebbe then sat down, lifted up the glass of tea, which had now become cold, made the blessing, you know, Shahakol, drank more than half the contents. Now he'd be obligated to recite the bracha of Barei Nefashos. Now, Barei Nefashos is the bracha you say after, you know, some foods and drinks. What do the words Barei Nefashos mean? God is the one who creates new souls. He proclaimed in a full, he glanced at Reb Zisha, and then at Reb Shmuel. Meaning Reb Zisha needs a kid and Reb Shmuel needs more. In a voice full of strength, he proclaimed the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem. Okay, creates many souls. You got the picture?
Why did he never do this before?
What?
Why did the Rebbe never do this before?
These are hard questions. When you're that ruchnius and that holy, so you sort of know when it's the right time. That's my answer to the question. And what I left my Navi hat at home. Okay, whatever. Let's continue. These three words reverberated throughout the like Klanta. The Rebbe was in another world. His face was a ball of fire. His eyes were clenched tightly. His voice was that of a devoted servant pleading with his master. And what's he doing? What's he doing now? He's using Barei Nefashos on tea to make a tefillah for what? For children. You see what's happening here? All eyes in the room were riveted to the Rebbe as he held the almost empty glass. Suddenly, everyone prearranged as though prearranged, each chassid instinctively looked away or closed his eyes tightly. Look, it's embarrassing. It was as though each one understood that as much as he longed to witness the scene of a tzaddik begging and with this creator, he understood that this was the Rebbe's private prayer and it was inappropriate to observe it. But there was one thing. What did the Rebbe need? What did he need from them?
Amen.
He needed amen. Oh, wow. Is this the best amen story of all time? Okay, here we go. Yes, it was obvious that the Rebbe wanted them to listen. He needed their amen, their solemn, heartfelt affirmation that Hashem is the ever devoted king of the universe. Amen means I agree, I believe, affirmation. He is the giver of life, as the Rebbe completed the bracha, roaring amens, full of feeling. Pronounced with utmost conjuration. The following year, a baby was born to the Rebbe's Gabbai, Reb Shmuel. That was his second. And a baby girl was born to Reb Zisha. And she became the eldest of a large family. Got it? 20 years later!
Crazy story.
Reb Shmuel and Reb Zisha shook hands and drank l'chaim together again. This time at the engagement of their son and daughter. And they had their wedding.
They got married.
And they got married. And the Rebbe was besotted the Kedushin. A bracha full of schoolers that can so easily be forgotten. Now you can have a bubble of a nigga. This is the best bombing story of all time. So you with me? Why did I react when you made that comment? That's why I reacted.
Well, is it because of the main or because of the bracha?
It's both.
Why is it the main?
It's both. Because the amen adds. Amen is I believe, I agree. Amen adds strength. When you say amen to a bracha, you're adding strength. You're strengthening. We don't know how Shemayim works. You never know what's going to put it over the edge. So this is a very special story. And this is the Bava Rebbe. That's amen. You got it?
What's the